Good evening. Welcome to Zion's Trumpet chat room. We had a little trouble this week because my computer that I used to record these sessions blew up. And so I tried to record tonight's chat session on a cheap laptop computer, but it wasn't strong enough to handle the big audio file, and I lost the recording. So I'm going to do it over, and tonight we're going to talk about the situation in Gaza and Israel. And the other day, a spokesman for the UNRWA, which is the United Nations humanitarian organization that takes care of the Palestinian refugees, named Adnan Abu Hasna, told a German news agency that Gaza was suffering from a humanitarian crisis. A humanitarian crisis usually means people are dying by the dozens, people are being slaughtered, people are being driven out of their homes, things like that. Starving to death. And the idea that Gaza is suffering from a, quote, humanitarian crisis, that idea has been around for quite a long time. I'll give you some newspaper headings from various years back, starting November 17th, 1993. This heading says, the humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip continues to grow. December 6, 2000. The heading says, impoverishing families across the West Bank and Gaza Strip risking humanitarian crisis, according to international economics workers and aid workers. June 15, 2001. Headline says, the United Nations has warned of a humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip due to a shortage of medical supplies there. November 9th, 2002, says headline says, humanitarian crisis in the West Bank and Gaza is a crisis of access and mobility. It is further compounded by an economic downturn that severely limits the ability of the civilian population to purchase and access basic needs. February 27th, 2003, says, humanitarian crisis, the cumulative impact of damage to civilian infrastructure, curfews and closures, and ongoing violence led the head of the International Committee of the Red Cross to describe the humanitarian situation in Gaza as the most dire since 1967. 1967 is when Israel captured the territory called the Gaza Strip. Before that, Egypt had it, and Egypt managed and controlled it from 1948 to 1967. Here's a headline from October 7th, 2004. The United Nations has warned in a special report of an impending humanitarian crisis in Gaza Strip. August 19, 2005. Paper says, thousands of Palestinians in Gaza are suffering from chronic humanitarian crisis that is deepening during the disengagement period. March 19, 2006. Headline says, Gaza facing humanitarian crisis. August 16, 2006. Says, humanitarian disaster in Gaza. People are crying, hungry, thirsting, and desperate. The end of 2006, November, says, Gaza, UN appeals for $2.5 million to ease humanitarian disaster. December 8, 2007, the headline says, the World Health Organization warned against the humanitarian crisis erupting in the Hamas-run Gaza Strip due to Israeli travel restrictions. And there's others. I just only listed those few. You would think that after 17 years of this perpetual crisis, of this humanitarian crisis nonstop, the population of Gaza would be decimated by now, and the land would look something like the sub-Saharan Africa. Yet somehow the brave Gazans managed to not only stave off the starvation that's forecasted by human rights experts every year, they also managed to get a steady supply of weapons, ammunition, fuel, food, medicine, and hundreds of millions of dollars in Western aid. Just to give you an idea of how false all this Arab propaganda is, I've included a summary of aid given to the poor Palestinian starving people of Gaza for just the last 2 weeks, or the first 2 weeks in May. The summary of the week, May 9th through 14th, goes like this. 637 truckloads. That's over 14,000 tons of goods were transferred to the Gaza Strip. 810,000 liters of heavy-duty diesel for the Gaza power station, and 897 tons of cooking gas were delivered that week, just one week. 781 Gazan residents entered Israel proper for medical reasons via the main crossing, the Erez crossing. A summary for the aid that went to Gaza for the week of May 2 through 8, 2010, is as follows. 714 truckloads, that's over 17,000 tons, of goods were transferred into the Gaza Strip. 1,535 liters of heavy-duty diesel for the Gaza power station were delivered. 293,000 liters for transportation, and 917 tons of cooking gas were delivered. And 370 residents of Gaza entered Israel for medical reasons, and 93 entered Israel for other reasons via that same Erez crossing. That's just 2 weeks worth of aid just from Israel. That's not counting all the aid they get from all the international community and all these organizations. Yes, sir, those evil Israelis, they're committing genocide against those innocent Palestinians by giving them large amounts of food, electricity, medical services, and other necessities. It's just diabolical what they're doing to poor Palestinians. I've added a couple of links here. You can see a video for, if you want to get a picture of what the true situation is in Gaza. I have a video called "Is Gaza Starving?" There's a link there you can press to go to it. You can also check out an article I have linked to, which shows by, definitely there's no shortage of food in Gaza. There's pictures of all these stalls just full of food, cattle's there, and everything else. And this is not done by any kind of right-wing, pro-Israel, radical Jewish group, okay? That's a website by Palestinians, for Palestinians. It's in Arabic. They put their own website up showing the true situation there. It's all propaganda. This is all propaganda, all this stuff about Gaza and starving, not having food, not having medicine. It's lies. Pure, simple lies. Now, the situation in Gaza is not very complicated, even though you might think it is. The media and the press just obfuscate it to make it sound complicated, so nobody really knows what's going on. The situation is very simple. It goes like this. The people who live in that territory, which are Palestinians, they absolutely refuse to live in peace with the state of Israel. The people who live there are rabid Jew haters whose only goal in life is to destroy Israel and replace it with a Hamas-Iranian Muslim terrorist state. All the Arabs in the world know it. Most of the Jews in Israel know it. But the world tries to ignore it. The world ignores a mountain of evidence every day to support the truth that the Palestinians are not interested in peace. But instead they choose to believe the fable, the lie, that if the Jews would just give the Palestinians their own land and state, peace would descend upon the Middle East. But see, it's Israel, not the nations. It's Israel who have to face the consequences if the world opinion is wrong, and if the real aim of the Palestinians is not to live peacefully alongside of Israel in their own state, but rather to destroy the Jewish state of Israel and replace that state with a Palestinian Arab terrorist state called Palestine. Therefore, Israel tries to move with caution and in small steps regarding giving the Palestinians their own land to see what their intentions really are. You see, if the intentions of the Palestinians are simply to have their own land and their own state so they can live in peace with Israel, then whenever Israel takes a step towards giving them more and more autonomy, giving them more and more territory, they would use those chances to build an infrastructure of a future Palestinian state. They would use that chance to build a state and to teach the Palestinian people that they need to live in peace with the Israelis. But instead, every opportunity they've been given, every inch of land they've been given, they have used to create terrorist enclaves from which they attack and terrorize non-combatant Israeli citizens. The Gaza retreat of a few years ago is a perfect example of this. the government of Israel forcibly removed most of the Jews from the Gaza Strip and gave that whole area to the Palestinians in order to start building their own state. Then, with the help of the United States, they pushed an election on the Palestinian residents so those people could decide what kind of government they wanted. So they went and they voted. And how did they vote? What did they vote? They voted to replace the supposedly moderate Fatah regime of Arafat with Hamas, which is one of the most radical, murderous terrorist groups on the face of the earth. So after the Israeli government expelled all the Jews from that area, the Arabs came in, the Palestinians came in, and they destroyed all the farms the Jews had, and they destroyed the produce the Jews had left behind. And then they proceeded to start firing rockets from Gaza into southern Israel every day for 8 years. Every day for 8 years. All the money the Palestinians received from international relief agencies went towards the purchase of more and more weapons in order to destroy Israel and to line the pockets of the corrupt bunch of criminals who are supposed to be the government of this future Palestinian state. Instead of building infrastructure for a state, they built bunkers. Instead of spending the aid money they received to feed the people in Gaza, they bought large amounts of weapons to fight against Israel in the coming war. And soon the people of Gaza started to go hungry, and the supplies started running out. And so what was the international community's answer to this situation? Well, their answer was, give them more aid and bring Hamas in out from the cold, start negotiating with Hamas as the bona fide representatives of the Palestinian people, and then blame Israel for everything that's going wrong in the Gaza Strip. So the government expels its own people from the Gush Katif area. Every Jew was expelled from Gush Katif, which they built painstakingly for over 30 years. The government destroyed their homes. It even dug up the corpses of Jews who were buried there so it could be reburied, quote, inside Israel. And they said to the world, dear world, Gaza is no longer ours. We've given it up. We've given it to the Palestinians. And the world rejoiced. But instead of taking the opportunity to build a viable state, the Palestinians not only kept terrorizing the Israelis, they used their new territory to increase their level of terrorism. Now, Israel had established checkpoints and entry points between Gaza and Israel in order to see what the Palestinians would do with the new territory. They just didn't give them the territory, walk off, leave them, do anything they wanted. They established some boundaries there and watched the boundaries. But it didn't take long to find out what the Palestinians would do with their new territory. In a matter of a few weeks, they began using that new land as a launching pad to further terrorize and demoralize the Israelis. And after 8 years of nonstop missile attacks on the southern part of the country, the IDF finally went into Gaza to put a stop to it, to destroy the bunkers, destroy the weapons. And then they established a naval and air blockade around Gaza to keep the peaceful Palestinians from importing more dangerous upgraded missiles from Iran. And of course, the world looks at that situation. It doesn't like it. It doesn't even consider Israel's security needs, because it wants to see Israel destroyed, just like the Arabs do. So the world says to Israel, hey, what do you think you're doing? You told us you gave that land to the Palestinians. Gaza is no longer yours, so why are you blocking it from the sea and the air? Why do you only allow entry into that area from your own territory? Why does everything have to go through your security checks? You need to get out of there and quit interfering with those people's lives. But the Israeli government can't just get out of there and let them alone. If they did, Hamas would import enough weapons into Gaza within 6 months to destroy the entire country. And do you think the world doesn't realize that? The world knows exactly what the intentions of Hamas are, of Hezbollah, of Islamic Jihad, and all the Arab nations, because they publicly broadcast their intentions every single day. Newspapers and articles and TV, radio. Some of it's in English, a lot of it's in Arabic. So Israel's trying to establish peace with the people who have no desire whatsoever to live peacefully with them. And it's doing so under the watchful eye of an anti-Semitic world that would like to see the Jews just disappear along with the Jewish state. So Israel ends up playing this political game to fend off the wolves. It gives Gaza to the Palestinians, but yet it keeps some control over that territory for the sake of self-preservation. But again, the world doesn't like that. And it says to Israel, what are you doing? You say that the Palestinians of Gaza are trying to smuggle in weapons that can destroy Israel? What's the problem with that? Why are you telling them what they can do with their own territory? What? You say they actually did start a war and are constantly firing missiles at you? What's the problem with that? That's the attitude of the world. Now, what Israel should have done when the Palestinians voted in Hamas and started their little mini-war in the south by bombing the southern part of Israel day and night with rockets, they should have done what every other country, sane country in the world, would have done. As destroy the people who are attacking them. Destroy the people who declared war on them. Destroy the Palestinians, all of them. They're guilty. The Palestinian people chose to elect the most anti-Israel, Jew-hating group of butchers on the planet as their official representatives, as their government. The Palestinian people willingly let their homes, schools, mosques, and things like that be used as bunkers. The Palestinian people chose to send their own children into Israel to blow up innocent, non-combatant Israeli citizens. The Palestinian people fully supported the missile attacks on Israel. The Palestinian people gave their time, their resources, their energy, their own lives, and the lives of their children to help destroy Israel. The Palestinian people declared war on Israel. So it's the Palestinian people who should be decimated. But of course, if Israel defended itself like any other rational nation would do, that was under the same circumstances, the whole world would go bananas. Bananas. Pogroms would break out in every nation where the Jews lived. There'd be a worldwide boycott and embargo of all Israeli goods and services, and no aid whatsoever would ever go to the Jewish state again. Not only does the world do nothing to stop Hamas and all these other Arab terrorist organizations and the Arab nations in general from trying to destroy Israel, it turns around and blames Israel for all the trouble in the Middle East. The mantra is repeated over and over and over again, day and night, 24/7, that if only Israel would give the Palestinians their own state, there would be peace. And the world believes that lie because they want to believe it. And they want to believe it not because they love the Arabs so much, but because they hate the Jews. An entire industry of human rights groups and organizations has come into existence whose only reason for existence is to sound an alarm about Gaza every few months. And of course, Israel is said to be completely to blame for the perpetual crisis in Gaza, even though the Gazans brought much of their own suffering on themselves because of their bloodthirsty obsession with conquering Palestine and murdering the Jews who lived there. People in these organizations not only blame Israel for everything that's going on in Gaza Strip, they blame Israel for every problem in the Middle East and in the entire Arab world. And many of them double as disinformation agents, spreading lies about how the world is being run by Zionists. And the international community, it supports the world media, which is anti-Semitic. It supports every radical left-wing dictator and nation on the planet, which are all anti-Semitic. It also supports, without question, all the Arab Muslim nations, which are rabidly anti-Semitic. And for evidence of this, we need only look at the recent media events, the recent lynching of Israel over the deaths of some very violent, quote, peace activists aboard that Gaza aid flotilla. I ran across one website which noted that the recent flotilla incident was only the latest example of the exaggerated media coverage and UN attention that Israel receives anytime it acts to protect itself. This is a universal malady, and it's been given a name. It's called Obsessive Compulsive Israel Disorder. Obsessive Compulsive Israel Disorder. The death of a handful of activists whose purpose was to kill Jews and who used lethal force against the Israeli boarding party has resulted in a non-stop procession of anti-Israel propaganda from every corner of the world. It was front page news for days running in all the major newspapers. Emergency sessions have been held in every major UN body because of it. yet the murder, rape, genocide, and displacement of hundreds of thousands and millions of people in Africa and elsewhere in the world have gone almost entirely unnoticed and unreported. For example, in the Darfur region of Sudan alone, 300,000 people, most of them innocent civilians, were raped and butchered. 2 million people, most of them children, remained displaced. A few people in the international community have taken notice of what's happening there, but it's very underreported because nobody cares about what's happened in Africa. There's a video on YouTube, going around YouTube and the internet, that recounts the story of a little girl named Aisha Hassan from Darfur. Her baby brothers and big sister were burned alive. Her father was beaten to death, and her mother was raped and then hacked into little pieces. And who did that? It was done by government-backed Muslim militiamen. And her story failed to make even the headlines of a paper or evoke any kind of response from the UN. And I have a little video explaining that situation called Disproportionate Coverage. There's a link here if you want to go and watch it. Now, can you imagine what would happen if government-backed Jews, if militant Jews who are backed by the government, did something like that to the Palestinians? The entire world would go berserk. Indeed, the entire world almost went berserk back in 2009 when Israel was forced to invade Gaza to try and stop the daily barrage of missiles hitting the southern part of the nation. The UN was foaming at the mouth because 40 civilians were accidentally killed, even though it was documented that they were killed because Hamas militants were using them as human shields. And just 1 week earlier to that, at that time, 1 week earlier, 100 men, women, and children seeking refuge in a church in the Democratic Republic of Congo were hacked to death by members of the Lord's Resistance Army, the LRA, which is a Ugandan rebel group. Now, that massacre didn't receive any attention or media coverage. There's no response from the UN. And see, the lack of media coverage in that case is really surprising because the LRA claims to be a Christian movement that wants to establish a theocratic state based on the Ten Commandments. And they like to use brainwashed children as child soldiers to carry out their brutality. Now, considering the fact that the media is secular and hates Christians and never misses a chance to denigrate Christians or mock Christians, you would think that the LRA atrocities would warrant at least as much coverage as Israel does. But it doesn't. And I go on, but I think you get the picture. Millions of people on this planet, including women and children, are experiencing a genuine, real humanitarian crisis. They're being driven from their homes. They're being starved to death, hacked to death, raped, sold as slaves, and other things too horrible to even mention. That's what a humanitarian crisis is, not what's going on in Gaza. Gaza is not having a humanitarian crisis by any stretch of the imagination, by any possible description of the word. Yet the only people on the planet that are given nonstop attention from world media, from the UN, from the all heads of all the nations, are the poor Palestinians of Gaza. Now, they're not starving. There's plenty of food in Gaza, believe me. Nobody's starved to death there. Nobody's thirsted to death there. Nobody's being driven out of their homes by the Israelis, and the other Israelis aren't butchering them. The idea that if Israel would just give the Palestinians their own state, peace would come onto the Middle East, and indeed the entire world, the whole thing is shown to be a fabrication, a fantasy, just by examining the world scene with regards to Islam. Just look at what's happening to every country where Muslims are in a majority, where Muslims are in control of the government. And what you will see are riots, social upheaval, bloodshed, and war. You will see them warring against everything that is not Islamic. Everything that is not Islamic. And I have a list of articles here, 2 pages for them, of headlines, of articles from various places of the world where Muslims are committing atrocities, killing people, burning churches down, things. Okay? You read through them and you look and see if any of that has anything to do with Israel, with the Israeli-Palestinian struggle. It does not. And in countries like Egypt, Indonesia, Pakistan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Bangladesh, Morocco, Sudanese, Timor, Afghanistan, Nigeria, Muslims persecute and murder people just because they have another religion. Those who do this killing are not international terrorists. They're not refugees living in terrorist camps or refugee camps. They're Muslim government officials. They are Muslim clerics and religious leaders. And they're the average Muslim on the street, which can so easily be whipped up into a murderous mob that goes around burning down churches and killing Christians. Not just American Christians, but any Christians. Christians of all nationalities. And you look through that list, you'll notice that Israel is non-existent as a reason for what's going on in all those places. None of that mayhem has anything to do with the Jewish state or the fact that non-Muslims are now occupying territory that used to belong to Muslims or like that stuff, okay? Muslims around the globe are killing people, including their own fellow Muslims, not because Israel oppresses the poor Palestinians or because Israel exists, not because America is protecting Israel or because Americans are rich. They're killing people for religious reasons. Religious reasons. And what people in the West refuse to accept is that a simple, straightforward interpretation of the two Muslim holy books, the Quran and the Hadith, will produce what we call radical or fundamentalist Islamic extremists every time. Every time. The Quran is what produces the mindset that accounts for all the anti-American, anti-Western hatred found in places far, far from the Arab-Israeli conflict. The fact is, the religion of Islam, as was laid out by Muhammad, is totally incapable with the principles of freedom and democracy. In the Islamic religion, any territory that was once under the control of Muslims must never be relinquished to non-Muslims, regardless of the price that must be paid to keep it. And the territory of the current state of Israel was once under Muslim control and Muslim rule during the time of the Ottoman Empire. The people of that empire were Muslim Turks. And the fact that non-Muslims, that's Jews, now control that territory is unthinkable to every Muslim. And they will sacrifice all their nations, all their children, the whole entire Muslim population in the world, they'll sacrifice everybody, and the entire world, in fact, to get that territory back. Until they get it back, they have lost face, and their God has lost face. It's been humiliated. The struggle between Israel and the Palestinians is not about the Palestinians having their own state. It's about the obsession of the Muslim world with regaining a piece of real estate which once belonged to them, which their religion tells them must be reconquered at all costs, even if they take the whole world with them in the attempt to take it back. They will.